last two or three weeks, and you know, we could look at the passage from Acts and say perhaps we don't need first past the post, perhaps we don't need proportional representation, we'll just draw lots in the future. And who knows, some parties may get more seats that way, and others might get less. But we won't go there. There's some thoughts on that in partnership news. So we'll look at John, because it's probably not quite as contentious in terms of ways of electing leaders. John chapter 17, and we have the little middle section read from that today, is a passage in its entirety. It's sometimes known as the high priestly prayer, sometimes known as the prayer of consecration. And there are lots of things that give us an insight into the way John is thinking and how he's portraying God and Jesus in his gospel. It's interesting that in John's gospel, there is far less about prayer than there is in the other gospels. But nonetheless, in John's gospel, we have the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the words of chapter 17, because it's a familiar passage. It's often broken into three sections, although it is very much a unity, where Jesus, in the passage just before the one we had read, prays for himself. The passage we had read, he prays for the disciples. And then the passage that follows, Jesus prays for the world. And it comes after he's just told the disciples what's going to happen. But as you look at that prayer in its entirety, there are many parallels that it has with the Lord's Prayer. It talks about the holy name of the Father, hallowed be thy name. And in John we get, Holy Father, you know, in your name protect the disciples. And actually you only get that particular phrase in John twice, and that's the only time it occurs. So there's that sense of the Father being holy. There's this also that comes through is the kingdom. What comes through is the glory. And Jesus, somewhat intriguingly, in the passage in John we've just heard, said he will be glorified, if it were, through the disciples. An interesting concept. But there's that, you know, the kingdom, power and the glory of the Lord's Prayer. There is, you know, the sense of protection. And Jesus is praying for protection in this passage. Deliver them from evil. So as we look at the passage, it's like, in some ways, an expanded version of the Lord's Prayer that we get in John. And there are some themes that, as we look just at the passage we've got in front of us today, that come through. We see those themes of Jesus being glorified, that the presence, if you like, of God is made real in that glory. There's that sense of that presence of God is made real. There's a sense of joy, that as the disciples pick up the mantle, because there is a sense that in the passage that we've got now, up to now it's been about the ministry of Jesus. Jesus has just told the disciples what's going to happen in his crucifixion, and it's as if he's passing the mantle now to the disciples. And as they pick up that mantle, as they pick up the role of the mission of God, so that will lead them into joy. So that's a very clear theme that comes through the passage. And it's quite interesting that as Jesus looks towards the cross in this whole passage, it's not as if he's looking to the cross with a sense of defeat. He's looking to it as a sense of victory, and you know, for the world, the cross is kind of a symbol of shame. Jesus turns that round and it's a symbol of glory. And because of that, there's that sense of joy, and he's looking to the cross, not with a sense of despondency. There's a sense of resoluteness, but not with despondency, but with joy. So we see those themes of glory, we see the theme of joy. But actually, the thing that underpins this whole passage, and actually underpins a lot of John's gospel, is that sense of unity. Because when Jesus prays for the disciples, he prays that they will be protected in order that they will have unity, in order that they won't get dispersed, in order that they won't be susceptible to false teachings or different whims or, you know, different power struggles within an embryonic church. And it's that sense of unity that underpins the whole of the passage in John that we have, not just today's passage, but the bit before and the bit after. Because as the disciples pick up the mantle of being Christ in the world, just as Jesus has picked up that mantle of being God and his work and his mission in the world, so too they are picking up that sense of unity, which is demonstrated by Jesus in his relationship with the Father. You know, we know that Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." We're not separate, we are one. We are distinct in that sense as individuals, but we are one. And it's that unity that Jesus has with the Father which is central to the mission and purpose of God in the world, which is what the disciples are picking up. They are picking up the mantle of being united, one with Christ, one with the Father, and therefore one with each other. And Jesus says he prays that they would continue in the unity that they already have. So it's not as if suddenly unity is going to break out. And Jesus prays that because of that relationship that they have with him and the Father, they are actually in unity with one another. They might not realize it, but they are, in that sense, united. And it's a good model for us as we look at how we are, because just as the disciples are called to pick up and take on that mantle of the mission of Christ in this world and that unity, we too are called to have that unity with each other and to live out that unity with each other as we have with Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, that we are one together. And that doesn't mean that we're just vanilla flavored all the same. God creates us all as unique individuals with different perspectives, different points of view. And yes, there is a commonality of what we believe, but we're also called to be individuals, to have different perspectives. We have different strengths, we have different views. And Jesus is not saying you all need to be the same. You all just need to be, you know, look, you know, like clones of one another, think like one another. That's not what Jesus is saying. It's not what John is portraying in this gospel. It's not what God wouldn't create us in the way that we are as individuals if his plan was actually we'll just all look and feel and think the same. And there is a real strength in that diversity of who we are as a people, because the world is diverse and it gives us the ability, each one of us, to relate to the world and to be in that world. And the Jesus' prayer is, you know, don't take him apart from the world, sanctify them, make them holy, set them apart for the work that they have, so that they are holy people in the world. And that's who, as Christians, we have that mantle. We are those holy people set apart for the work of demonstrating and living out the mission of Jesus in the world, in that unity with the Father. But in order to do that, we need to live out that unity in a way that is visible and in a way that is tangible. Because it's very difficult for the world to understand. If we are preaching Christ and we are preaching the relationship that he has with the Father and that we have with him, and that is around that unity of I and the Father are one. If we are disunited, we're confusing for the world, and the world looks at us and say, who is this Christ that you worship that transforms the world? And so the challenge for us, as just as the disciples picked up that mission of God in of Jesus in the world and representing that unity that they had with Christ and with the Father, as Jesus picked up that mission of God in the world and demonstrating God come on earth as one with the Father, so we, as we pick up and are given and invited to join with Jesus in picking up that mantle of his work, of demonstrating and of speaking out God's kingdom in the world, so that we too reflect his glory, so that we too have joy, so that we too enjoy, if you like, that protection and sanctification that God gives. We too need that unity in order that we communicate effectively what the mission and work of God is in this world, which through us he wants to bring more to completion, because right now it's an unfinished work. Amen.
Amen.